Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our weekly Tourism Industry Partner phone call. This is our weekly phone call to connect and keep in touch as our community recovers. I'm Pamela Johnson with the Visitor and Convention Bureau, substituting this week for Tamara Pikett, our Executive Director, who is traveling for business today. So we'll go ahead and get started. I would like to introduce our first guest this week, Mickey Radowski with Lee County Community Development. Mickey is actually the interim director, as I know our good friend Dave Loveland will soon retire. So Mickey serves as the interim director of community development. And we've asked Mickey this morning to share an update on the permitting process here in Lee County. So Mickey, if you're on, welcome. And please press star 2 to unmute yourself. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning, Pamela. Thank you for the introduction, and good morning to everyone else. Again, my name is Mickey Radowski, and I am taking over as the interim director of the Community Development Department here at Lee County. Dave Loveland is retiring. He will be having a going away party next Friday if anybody's available and interested. It will be here in our office. And I've been asked to join you here today just to give you an update of our permitting status since the hurricane. And as you can imagine, it's been a very busy 6 months. And for those of you that don't know where we're located, we're at 1500 Monroe Street, which is about two blocks away from the river. And our building did sustain significant flooding from storm surge. And our first floor permitting lobby, which is kind of the heart of our permitting system, and our staff work areas were unusable immediately after the storm. Nonetheless, in as little as 2 weeks, our team set up a pop-up permit office across the street in that administration building and began immediately issuing permits for hurricane-related damage. We're now back in our building, and it's what I like to call an industrial chic work environment while we wait for FEMA to provide us our funding for repairs. However, that hasn't stopped us. Since October of 2022, we have issued over 45,000 permits. And just to break it down to a monthly a breakdown, in March, we answered 16,380 phone calls related to permitting. And every one of those phone calls were either picked up immediately or were callbacks within a day. We provided in-person assistance to 3,530 customers. And we received over 11,000 permits, which is almost twice as many as we had received in March of 2022. And we were able to issue 10,438 permits, which is more than twice as many as we did in March of 2022. These permits include roofs, remodels, new construction, and of course, just hurricane-related damage. And the numbers I just quoted for March were only slightly more than the volume that we had in Friday. So we're continuing, or in February. So we're continuing to just see the constant need for permits as people are recovering and getting back in their homes, receiving their insurance money, and as a lot of our housing assistance programs are getting underway to provide the financial assistance that's needed to rebuild. We are continuing to work through the backlogs and focus on customer service. We're going to have some really great customer service staff here that's been trained up for anyone that's looking for good staffing. We will have the best in the county here, and they are really the true superstars of this recovery and helping people reestablish their homes. With that, I am available for any questions. If there are none, thank you so much for having me join you today. And please feel free to reach out with any questions you might come up with.
Mickey, thank you so much. Let me just jump in and ask if there's any questions for Mickey, please press star 2 to unmute yourself, and she'd be happy to answer any questions about permitting, which is, as she said, and we all know, just such a critical process in terms of recovery for the community. So, any questions this morning for Mickey?
Hey Mickey, this is Carol Obermeyer from the airport. I just want to tell you guys did a fantastic job. The quickest part of getting a new roof from a roof damage from the storm was getting the permit. So, we got a new roof in March. The roofer pulled the permit. It was so quick, easy, and your team's doing a fabulous job.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Carol. I really appreciate that. Any other questions for Mickey? Well, Mickey, I really appreciate you joining us today to give us an update on the permitting process and what's going on in your office. And I look forward to seeing you next week as we say farewell to Dave Loveland and all the good work that you guys have done and continue to do. So you are welcome to stay with us on the call. All you need, if you do, just press star 2 to remute yourself, and we'll move on to the next speaker. Again, thank you very much, Mickey. So, our next guest is Chad Chutes and Ladders. That's a personal joke between Chad and I when I was asking him how to pronounce his last name. Chad is the environmental project manager for the town of Fort Myers Beach. His last name is Chutes, by the way. And Chad has joined us to talk about an important project on Fort Myers Beach, which is bringing more sand to the beach, also known as the BERM project, BERM. So, good morning, Chad, if you're with us. Good morning and welcome. Please press star 2 so that we can hear you.
Hey, morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. So, yeah, the emergency berm, bringing in over 70,000 cubic yards of sand to build that emergency berm. Fort Myers Beach lost over 220,000 cubic yards of sand from our beaches during Hurricane Ian, significant elevation losses, exposing some pilings and steps and infrastructure that hadn't been seen in years, if not decades. So there's been a push to get some sand back on the beach. That berm is being placed from Margaritaville, if you're familiar with where that is on Fort Myers Beach. It's just south of Crescent Park, all the way down to Carlos Point Beach on the south end of the island near the bridge, going towards Bonita. The funding's coming from FEMA under the Category B Public Assistance Program. This type of assistance is only available to the natural beach, which is why the northern section is not getting a berm, unfortunately. But they are getting Cat G assistance, which helps replenish the 50,000 cubic yards that was lost on that north side. And we are hoping to incorporate that funding into our previously planned renourishment project that we had already been working on prior to Ian. It's slated to start in the fourth quarter of 2023, going all the way until May, and that'll bring over 1 million cubic yards onto the beach and hopefully make everything look a lot better again. So why are we doing this? The FEMA funds the berm to protect upland properties from future storm surge. The coastal engineers run their modeling to get a berm design that has an engineered elevation to protect against a 5-year storm surge plus wave run-up. They used, I don't know if y'all remember, I don't know if it was a hurricane or a tropical storm, Eta, was considered a five-year storm, so they used that data from the data buoys and worked out an elevation of 6.5 feet NAVD. And if you're wondering what NAVD is, so it's North American vertical datum, and our mean high water line is approximately 0.3 feet NAVD. So I usually tell people just kind of look at, you know, people walking along the water line and see where their head's at, and that's about how high the berm is. There's been some challenges for sure, most of which was just getting approved by FEMA. Fort Myers Beach was one of the first to get their berm plans into FEMA, meeting with Beach Bob, as he's known, FEMA personnel, back in October, and getting our engineering design approved by December and feeling really good about things, and then kind of starting to panic towards that six-month mark where, you know, sea turtle season's upon us, and trying to get everything done before shorebirds and nesting sea turtles become an issue. One of the main hiccups or holdbacks was U.S. Fish and Wildlife that had concerns with the berm placement in a COBRA site. So COBRA stands for Coastal Barrier Resource Act, and they have overlays on a lot of our barrier islands for environmental concerns. Ours was the shorebird nesting areas. So we redesigned, lost a little bit of volume over our initial design, went down, you know, from 80 plus to around 73,000 cubic yards, placing that berm just outside of the COBRA site. Sea turtles are another concern, and there were some challenges with the emergency order guidance and getting the biological opinion guidance for just determining what we can do, relocate versus just mark and protect. But FWC was able to issue a permit, and I think we have some flexibility based on our marine turtle permit holders' guidance on how to proceed once the sea turtle nests are being laid. So with that, I will take any questions that y'all might have.
Thank you so much, Chad. That's really an important update, and I know the overarching goal is, you know, as you put it, is to, you know, provide the storm damage reduction benefits to the properties, enhance the recreational space for, you know, all of us who enjoy the beach area, residents and visitors, and improve the critical habitat for threatened and endangered shorebirds and sea turtles. So that's important work that's going on out there. Are there any questions this morning about the berm project for the town of Fort Myers Beach for Chad? If so, as you know, to join the conversation, just hit star 2, and you will be unmuted. Okay, Chad, well, you got off easily this morning, I do appreciate, we all appreciate you taking the time from your busy day to join us, and you're welcome to continue to stay on, or if you need to jump off, that's fine too. So thank you once again for joining us today.
No worries. Thank you. Y'all take care.
You too. Thank you. All right. I do have a few VCB area updates to share with you this morning. It's from the sales team. The sales team has sourced 437 RFPs to hotel partners this fiscal year to date. And from these requests for proposals, hotels have booked 75 meetings. So we have one remaining trade show this month, and it is an international event Travel Bulletin Family Holiday Showcase event in London, on London, England, that is, April 27th. And that event, you know, is being coordinated, managed, and led by our UK contractor for communications, who represents Lee County, the VCB in the United Kingdom, and they are based in London. And I actually believe this is a virtual event. Moving on, guests first. Expect to see something in your inboxes shortly with regard to Guest First. The Guest First training sessions for the summer will be announced very shortly, I anticipate within the next week or so. So again, keep an eye out for that information. These are free in-person and also virtual classes for the summer. So we'll look forward to that. With regard to STAR, I have the latest STAR report for the week of April 9 through 15th. Occupancy was at 73.9%. ADR, or average daily rate, was $170.26. And RevPAR, revenue per available room, is $125.84. Occupancy was down slightly, but we noticed that rate was very down, was way down. You know, it, in addition to not having the coastal properties in the mix for this comparison, year-over-year comparison, we suspect that the rate drop is partially because Easter was April 17th last year, keeping rate a little higher a little bit longer last year when you do, you know, a year-to-year comparison. So let's see. We have 9,881 hotel rooms open in Lee County, which represents 69.1% of available guest rooms. So we, I think Tam has said, it's still hovering right below 70%. And we really don't anticipate it getting higher than 70% until the coastal properties begin to come back online. So now it's your turn to ask any questions or share any information that you might have this week. If you have any comments or questions, just hit the star 2 to unmute yourself. Okay, hearing no questions or comments, I will just share that the next call is Thursday, next Thursday, and I just had a brain block as to what date that is, but it's next Thursday at 9 a.m., whatever that date is. Let me just look at my calendar real quick. You guys can figure it out. Let's see, the 27th. Okay, next Thursday, April 27th at 9 a.m. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm laughing at myself. I apologize. We very much appreciate your support by participating in these calls as we recover and rebuild our communities. So with that and my lack of brain power this morning, I will just say have a great day to everyone and farewell for now. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.